I'm showing you what God's goodness looks like when he starts building something. So in February, I taught you about the goodness of God, that God shares his potential with us, that he gives us his permission. He blessed them. Say, be fruitful, multiply. That's him giving us his permission. And then with his permission, he gives us his power. Amen. The power that he gives us is the ability to be born again. That's powerful. To grow every day, faith to faith, glory to glory. That's power. That I'm never boxed in, that I'm never incarcerated by my experience, but that I can grow from it. That's a powerful tool, right? And then he gives us his promises. His promises are there because he's a covenant-keeping God. Okay? All right? And in him being a covenant-keeping God, he always sets a prototype in place so that you can have something to look forward to. The prototype is the thing that comes first that everything else is going to be built off of. So Sunday, I taught you from the title about the confirmation that Solomon went to God and asked him for confirmation that what he promised his father David, he was going to make good on. And God's told him, what do you want? The reason he looked for his confirmation was he went to go and worship. I'm going somewhere, stay with me. He had to go and worship, and he couldn't go worship at David's tabernacle because David's tabernacle only had the Ark of the Covenant, one tent and some worshipers out in front. But to give a sacrifice, he had to go to the tent of meeting, which was Moses' tent that he erected, which still had the brazen altar where sacrifices were made. So Solomon went to David's tabernacle first and then realized he couldn't give a sacrifice there and took everybody with him and went back to Mount Gibeon where Moses' tent was being kept, which was temporary. And he did that because he realized that God was about to put it all together. And he realized that the only way he can go into what God had for him was he needed his grace. Some things you will never grab if you don't have grace. So it's not necessarily about you being good enough. It's really about you being grace. So tonight I have a text. I'm going to take it because there are some principles, some truths that I want you to see in the text in Exodus 34. Then I'm going to step away from the text for a second to talk to you about grace, and then we'll go back to the text at the end so I can share with you what God told me to tell you prophetically. We're all on the same page. Exodus 34. Let's go. Yeah. Yeah, the baby know what I'm talking about. I love the sounds of babies in church. That means we got a future. I never get upset when babies cry in church. I know the parents be like, don't be quiet. I don't care. That means that I'm going to have a job 20 years from now. Some of y'all catch on to that later. Watch this here. Exodus 34, verse 1. I know that we're always familiar with particular Sunday school stories. I'm an Old Testament guy because the Old Testament is the New Testament. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So to know what I'm seeing in the New Testament, I have to understand the Old Testament. And so when I look at the Old Testament, what I see are shadows of what is to come. Right here in the text, there's so many deep revelatory things that are going on right here in Exodus 34 that we particularly take for granted. I know we saw Cecil B. DeMille's classic film, The Ten Commandments. I know you saw Charlton Heston come down off the mountain and you woke up from your nap because it's 3 hours long of a movie. And by the time you woke up, he was coming down off the mountain with the glory on his face. You'd have missed the whole thing. Because once they cross over the Red Sea, you kind of fall asleep after that, right? And so there are some truths here in Exodus 34 that I want to read for you tonight. And if it's all right, I will read it from the New King James Version, just so I can get a little bit of that old school flair in there. And the Bible says, "And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. And I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke." Wow. You broke it. I'm going to fix it. I see, I'm already in it. You broke it, but I'm going to fix it. He says, "So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. No man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before the mountain." The Bible says, "So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. And then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tablets of stone." Yeah. "Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there." Good God Almighty. "And proclaimed the name of the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and talked about himself." My God here. "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the children's children to the third and fourth generation." See, y'all get this all twisted, mixed up. "So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped, and worshiped. And then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people. Pardon our iniquity and sin, and take us as your inheritance." Touch your name and say, "Grace gonna get you there." Grace is gonna get you there. Grace is gonna get you there. Solomon tells us in the book of Proverbs, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." I've been teaching from this scripture all year, every Wednesday night. I haven't deferred from it. It is the basis of our discussion for the year, that oftentimes we feel inadequate. Oftentimes we feel like people don't get it. And it is often either through our inadequacies or the reactions of others that we let go of what God gave us. Moses receives the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue from God. He has an encounter with God 80 years into his life. He has an encounter as he's shepherding Jethro's sheep. God encounters him in a burning bush and speaks to him and tells him his destiny. Moses accepts it, lets the children of Israel get free through his leadership, cancels out a superpower in the Egyptians, and changes the trajectory of an entire people, making them to be positioned to be the nation God called them to be. And now he stands at the precipice of promise, and he needs structure and instructions from God in order for the people to live. And God tells them to meet him in the mountain. And with his finger, the Lord carves out of the rock two stones and writes on them himself and gives Moses the instructions on how to live. Moses comes down off the mountain. And when he comes down off the mountain, he inquires Joshua. Joshua is halfway between the people and halfway up the mountain. I don't want to go there tonight. Because there's a lesson to be learned with Joshua. And Moses comes down, and Joshua's response is, it sounds like there's war in the camp. And Moses says, it's not war. And when he comes down, what happens is he sees the children of Israel dancing naked around a golden calf that they made. Aaron was the priest who made the golden calf. Now, here's where it gets interesting for us tonight, because I'm really not talking so much about the whole experience as much as I'm talking about grace. Because I couldn't find in the Bible where God got mad with Israel for dancing naked around the golden calf. I know you saw Cecil B. DeMille's film, and I know you saw the ground open up, which the Bible does record, but you have to read through it to find out why. It's not because they were dancing naked. As a matter of fact, God said, whoever's on the Lord's side, come to the mountain. The reason why they got swallowed up is because they did not come to their senses and take salvation when it was available. Oh, here we go. God will always give you a chance. The Bible says he wishes that none should perish. This story is not about, y'all turn me down some. This story is not about the children of Israel. They were the ones dancing naked. Let's not make that light. They butt naked, y'all. Okay, y'all are getting with me. Dancing around some golden calf. That's freaky. Okay. Moses comes down from glory. He's been up there with God. And he's got the Ten Commandments, and he's walking down the mountain, and he's ready to give them the instructions on how we're going to live. And what he sees is a party, a freaky one. And Moses takes the tablets of stone, and he breaks them. Oh, my God. He threw them at the people and broke what God gave them. Write this down. Don't let what you see cause you to let go of what God gave you. His reaction was to what other people were doing. Lord have mercy. And how often do we allow what God gave us to be prohibited by the practices of other people? He gave you the vision. He gave you the idea. Oh, you're not going to talk back to me. He gave you the promotion. He gave you the position. He gave you the spouse. Oh, y'all want to talk back to me. And you letting what other people do affect what he gave you. Huh? You letting your girlfriend who ain't got no man. Y'all want to talk back to me. Come on, I'm coming for you tonight. Huh? Talk to you about your marriage, and she ain't never had one. You letting your homeboys talk you out of what your responsibilities are. They ain't got no kids. They ain't got what they do. They just don't take care of them. They ain't got what you got. I'm coming right for you. Straight, no chaser. Here we go. Because we're often letting go of what God gave us because of what we see. Christian, strip me out. The preacher messed up, so you let go of your salvation. Your salvation is not between you and the preacher. Oh, come on, talk back to me. Your salvation is between you and God. And if God saved you, what they do, hey, whatever. God bless you. I'm praying for you, bro. But I know when that day comes, I'm going to be up in there. You might not make it. Because the Bible says that we could lay hands on the sick and we can cast out devils. We can do all that stuff and then get to glory. And the Lord says, I don't know you. I don't know you. He knows his sheep. So why do we allow other people to cause us to let go of what God gave us? In the same way, we also allow our own inadequacies, our own self-limiting beliefs, at times to cause us to let go of what God gave us. Paul, the Apostle Paul, here's where I want to get a little practical. The Apostle Paul gives us a bunch of tremendous examples on what it means to be strong in grace, what it means to realize that grace is going to be the thing that gets you there. Because as I looked at the text, as I looked at the story, I saw the grace of God in it. Now, they naked. He should have killed all of them. But then I thought, that's how he made us. See, you so caught up on the naked. Obviously, you never watched Naked and Afraid. Obviously, you never watched the show. But you're so caught up on the naked that your mind can't get detached from what's going on in the scene, that God is not even upset with them. He's not even upset with Aaron. Later on, he tells Moses to get somebody to make Aaron the vestments for the priesthood. Dude just made a golden calf. Oh, you're not talking back to me. And God paid it no mind. But when Moses broke them tablets, when Moses broke them tablets, God said, now get back up here and cut two tablets. Hewn out two tablets of stone. I gave it to you the first time. This time you got to do it yourself. First time I cut it with my hand. And since that wasn't good enough for you, you want to break it, you do it. And here's the problem. You got 24 hours. Because I'm going to be there in the morning. Oh, you don't want to talk back to me. He was up there 40 days. Oh, you don't want to talk back to me. Getting glory, getting revelation, and God writing on the stone. Now, 24 hours. If you don't have these rocks. The rocks are important. Because the rocks is the word of God that's now becoming reality. And the word was made flesh. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. He needs these stones as a shadow of what is to come. That's why God gave it to him in the first place. There's a reason God is trying to give you something. It is going to be a foreshadow of things to come for somebody else. The abstract of the word of God is now becoming concrete in the stone. So that when a Jewish person reads in John 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, come on, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, they would understand. Because historically, they know that at one point in time, the Word became stone. Jesus, Lord, have mercy. So, y'all not hitting. Okay, so, grace then allows Moses to break what God gave him. And God says, make some more. And I'll meet you in the morning. So, write this down. Grace always has a period. Time is always connected to grace. You are saved by faith through a grace period. You are saved by faith through grace. Are you not? That's what the Bible says. So Paul, let's do this practically. Paul gives us some insight on what it's like to have this grace. 1 Corinthians 15, 10 says this. This is not my own doing. This is not my own doing. Can you get that on screen for me? Because they act funny when they don't see it for themselves. Come on. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, this is not my own doing, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Oh, come on, somebody. It's not my own doing. It's not my own doing. I didn't get here on my own. And it is oftentimes that we think people just got there by themselves. Touch your neighbor and say, I was graced for this. There is no way in the world I could be your pastor without grace. You don't even say amen. There is no there is no way in the world. Y'all missed that joke. There is no way in the world I could do what I do without grace. I couldn't be a husband without grace. I couldn't be a father without grace. I couldn't be a good human being without grace. See, grace lets me know that I'm not good. And it's okay to be good at something. What I'm saying is that it lets me know that there are some things that should have transpired in my life because there was a time, there was a period in my life where I didn't have it all together and I should have been penalized for not having it all together. But God gave me a period, Lord have mercy, and put an end to what I was. And gave me some mercy so I could be calm. So Paul tells, did y'all do that? Oh, okay, you did it, okay. So, all right, see if you can keep up with me. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Here's what you want to write down. I sent this out this morning in a devotional. Capability is more related to identity than behavior is. It's what you did. It's not who you are. And you feel incapable because of what you did. You messed up. You broke the stones. Yeah. Yeah. But that does not make you incapable of hewing out two more rocks. Come on, somebody. You feel incapable because you broke it. It's amazing to me that grace, watch me now, that grace allows you to grip who you are. No, not talking back. It allows you to grip who you are because Moses breaks the tablets and God says, go make two more. Right. Well, I ain't make them the first time. You did.
Right.
So what do you see in me that tells you I'm capable, y'all out of here with me, to make what you made? You just missed it. Not just to make anything, but to make what you just made. You're telling me I got the ability to do what you just did? Yes. You 40-something and still don't know who you are. God's grace is in you, man. Grace is the divine enabling ability from God for us to be what he has called us to be and to do what he has called us to do. So grace does not just relate to our being, it also relates to our doing. I am a husband. That's my being. And to do husband stuff, I need grace. I need grace to watch Downton Abbey. I need grace to watch Scandal and grace to do the stuff that she liked, because I don't like none of that. Yeah. He don't either. He faking. Y'all don't want to talk about that. I need grace. Okay? I need grace. All right, I'm joking about it, but this is a real thing, man. I need the grace, and that grace is in you. And the thing about grace, you know, grace, charis in Greek, which means grace or unmerited favor. Unmerited means there's no merit. You don't work for it. It's given. It's given. So you can't get better at grace. You can only get better at your grip on it. Oh, Jesus, Lord. Lord, have mercy. Have you ever looked at somebody who has a daunting schedule and requirements on their life that'll make you lose your mind? But when you look at them, they make it look effortless. It's not because they're good. It's because they're grace. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. 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 I watched people go through horrific traumas. I saw people lose their loved ones, lose their little babies, and stand there and forgive the killer. It's not because they're good. It's because they gripped grace in such a way that grace enabled them to be able to do what they're doing. It's not natural. It's grace. It's the grace. Preachers preach sometimes outside of their grace period. See, when the grace lifts, the anointing departs. And when the anointing departs, stop. Go sit down. Go sit down. They ain't no need to get up. You could sing like Jennifer Hudson, but if the anointing of God does not come and rest down on you, you won't have the grace to set anybody free. You'll entertain us. It'll sound great. Y'all not in here with me. But the grace to unlock some things in your life won't be present. See, that's the difference between a praise leader and an entertainer. An entertainer is entertaining you, but a praise leader is breaking up the fallow ground in your heart so that when the word comes in, it's seed in good ground. That's the difference. So you need grace. You need grace. You need grace. You need grace. God's grace. God's grace means that he will never, this is for you, this is good, he will never call you to be something or do something without his help. I'm going to say it again. He will never call you to be something or do something without his help. I'm going to say it one more time. He will never call you to be something or do something without his help. I have a scripture that I quote every morning. It's my favorite scripture. It's how I do what I do. I couldn't do what I do the way I do it, how I do it, without it. It's 2 Timothy 4. Come on, I want you to go there. 2 Timothy 4, verse 17 and 18. 2 Timothy 4, verse 17 and 18. Can y'all get that up there? I read this scripture every morning. Every morning. I have read this scripture every morning since I was 19 years old. It's how I do what I do. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. So when I get up in the morning, I pray this prayer. Lord, stand with me. Strengthen me. So that the message might be preached fully through me. Oh, God. And that all the Gentiles might hear. And now when I say it, I don't say Gentiles, obviously. I just say so everybody can hear. And also remind myself that I was delivered from the lion's mouth. See, grace allows you to grip you. See, you're still fixated on the good thing. I am good. Child, you ain't that good. You're graced. I would rather have the grace. Here's the thing. I can be good and graced. I don't want to just be a graced preacher. I want to be a good one. But I want his grace on my good. I want to study to show myself approved. Huh? I want to make sure I know the word. I want to make sure what I'm telling you is right and accurate. But I don't want to do it without grace. I don't want to do it without grace. So God will never call you to do something or be something without his help. Ever. So whatever God is, Lord have mercy, whatever God is calling you to do, calling you to be, he's going to help you. He's going to stand with you. That's grace. Lord have mercy. When God gives you his grace, it's so free that you think it will lower the standard. So sometimes people use grace as an excuse to do wrong things. Because his grace is promiscuous. He give to anybody. Y'all don't hear. He flirts it. It's that free. So when we receive it oftentimes, particularly today, we use his grace as an excuse as to why we have to be bad. Grace never lowers the standard, it raises the bar. And the reason it raises the bar is because it should put you in close proximity with you. I broke it. This is too hard for y'all. I broke the thing. And God is merciful enough to tell me, go make two more and meet me in the morning. Now, you can make the stone, but you can't write the word. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Yeah, now, you can make the stone, but what you can't do is put the word on it. So you need me to put the word on what you just broke. Oh, touch your neighbor and say, God's about to put a word on what you broke. And if he can get a word on what you broke, it'll be all fixed. It'll be just right. See, when you can be honest about what you broke, that you overspent, it wasn't the devil. The devil was wearing Prada. The devil like Gucci. And Louis Vuitton and And what's that Louboutin, whatever the girl name with the bloody shoes, the red bottoms, you understand? Yeah. These devils, no. These credit cards. These stores, these malls. Huh? You overspent. Or you too cheap to invest. Oh, I'm coming for all you. An extreme is an extreme. Okay? Extreme is extreme. So, Trump or Bernie, it's an extreme is an extreme. I don't care who you're voting for. I'm just telling you. So it's dangerous not to see where you broke it. See, the great, oh God. Okay, for leaders, if you're a leader, there's always a great disconnect. The people are never going to be where you are. So stop trying to get them to be. So you going to break what God gave you because they dancing naked? That's what they supposed to do. They don't have your responsibility. They're free to be them. And you mad. The reason you're mad is because you made a covenant agreement with God that you would lead his people, which required a standard, and so the actions are different. Then don't lead. Don't write me no letters. Don't send me no cards. Don't DM me on my Instagram. Don't do none of that. Don't leave. Go sit down. That's the great disconnect. And you done come off in glory. Sometimes I come out so fired up with a word, and y'all are like, yeah, you know, this is some mess right here. Amen. I don't care. Go ahead. I'm going to give you what God told me to give you. Right. It's not your responsibility to be where I'm at to get the word. It's my responsibility to get the word to give you. And you know what freed me from the great disconnect? Is that you don't have something for me. I got something for you. Oh, my glow hammer. And if you want it, I got it, baby. Don't shoot the messenger. All right. So. I loved what Jeremiah said. We know it's a famous scripture. I know the plans I have toward you, saith the Lord, right? The part I love about that is he says, my plans are good, they're not evil. To give you a hope in the future or to bring you to an expected end. Right? So God has this conclusion. He has this outcome that he wants. What am I letting go of before I get to hold it? Oh. God gives Moses these two stones and he just throws them down. 40 days up there, bro. Lightning and thunder and glory, my whole face all bright. And just because you dancing naked, I'm going to break it? I'm going to lose my grip because you lost your mind? I'd have sat there with popcorn. Y'all let me know when y'all done. I'm going over to the prop sled. I holler at y'all. So when Moses broke the tablets, he lost his grip on grace. How's your grip? How's your grip? Are you about to throw away the vision God gave you? Are you about to throw away what you know of him? Come on, you've been walking with God for 20 years, 15 years, 10 years. Yes, people are people. They ain't going to never change. They're always going to be people. Why are you letting what people do make you lose your grip. Christians, why are you mad with sinners? For doing what sinners do. They at the bar. Well, they having a good time. You should try laughing. It'll help you. They're sinners. We're supposed to be the ones of the light of the world, salt of the earth. And we mad with everybody who's hurting. Because we have allowed them to convince us that their sedative is joy. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. You don't hear what I'm saying. It's just a sedative. It's something to anesthetize the pain for them to get through. That's why they do it. I need a drink. I need to relax. Hello. Don't worry if you're drinking your little wine. I'm not calling you a sinner. Leave me alone. I'm not messing with you. I'm not coming for you. I'm not coming for you. It's whatever. It's whatever, baby. I'm going to get in so much trouble for saying this, and I probably should say it, but I think I want to set somebody free tonight. If God wasn't mad with them for Dad's necker, he certainly ain't going to be mad with you for sipping on your little glass of wine that you don't really drink no way because you ain't really no drinker. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Let's bring forth the elders to pray for the preacher. Help me out. Folk in the Bible did some horrific stuff that God never even addressed. And we're building whole blockades of getting to him over little trivial stuff. Because you had a spritzer. Man, child, please. Child, please. If grace is not powerful than the spritzer, I don't know if I want it. Okay. All right. I don't know why I keep going over here. Really, I don't know. So you need grace to grip God's plan. You need grace to grip what God is going to give you. And you need grace to go back and work on what you broke. Now let's slip into the prophetic side of things. So God tells Moses, meet me in the morning. Meet me in the morning, and you got 24 hours to get these stones. He's got to climb back up the mountain. He's got to go back to the spot where God hewed out the rock. Oh, God, Lord Jesus, do you remember the spot? Moses says to God, I thought we was friends. See, the conversation before this was Moses saying, God, show me your glory.
Right.
Mama, I know you're going to steal it. I know you're going to preach this, so go take your notes. Go on. All right, listen. Bishop going to get me. She going to be somewhere talking about, and God said, I got it from her, so it's reciprocity. You understand? It's reciprocity. So watch this. So if you know your Bible, God, Moses says to God, I want to see you face to face. Show me your glory. And God says, no man can see me. No Adam can see me and live. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to tuck you away. I'm going to hide you in the cleft of a rock. And then I'm going to pass by you. And you're only going to see my backside. And when God passes by Moses, he takes his finger and he hews stone out of the rock. So Moses is getting the revelation of God's word in a hidden place. Lord, have mercy. Because you can only see God and see his word from a place of covering. You have to be inside of the rock. Jesus is the rock of ages, which is the cleft for me. Paul said our grace is in Jesus Christ. So God put Moses in the rock, which was a shadow of Jesus, so that the word could come forth. I can't even receive the word if I'm not hidden in Christ. And only the grafted word of God remains in my life. Not the word I hear, the word I receive. God, I'm preaching better than y'all shout. So watch this. So this is cool, ain't it? So watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. So in that encounter, God makes the stones. So Moses has to go back up to the place where God hid him and hew the rock. Touch your neighbor and say, it's still there. There's still a hiding place for you. God, I feel like preaching. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Jesus, Lord, I feel this thing. We about to have revival right up in here tonight. God kept the hiding place because he knew you was going to break it. Oh, God, I feel like that's the power of grace, that when you break it, I'm still going to leave you a spot to come back up here and see me and get back what I gave you the first time. It's not too late. Oh, this is good news. You know how many times I messed up and said, God, would you do it again? You know how many times I forfeited and said, God, would you do it again? You know how many times I got it wrong and prayed, God, would you do it again? And God is telling you tonight, you still got a hiding place. You still got a spot. The rock is loose because I already carved it out. So it ain't going to be that hard for you to hew out the rock. You just got to have enough faith to go back to where I... Lord, have mercy. Jesus, you just got to have enough faith to go back to the spot. That's all. This is why you never let your experiences stop you from walking with God. Ever. Don't you ever. I don't care if you drank the whole bottle. Get your butt back to the spot. I don't care if you slept with them. Get your butt back to the spot. I don't care what you did. Get back to the spot. Get back to the spot. If he can overlook them dancing naked, certainly he can overlook whatever you did. He didn't address them. He addressed the leader. Said, why did you lose your grip? Why did you lose your grip? And Moses has to go back up to the spot. But the rock is loose. Oh, Jesus. It ain't going to be that hard for you to hew out the stone. The reason he only gave you 24 hours is because it ain't going to take that long. And God told me to tell somebody tonight, it ain't going to take that long. If you meet him back at the spot, it ain't going to take that long. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but you ought to tell somebody it ain't going to take that long. I know it took long the first time, but the second time, it ain't going to take that long. It won't take that long. My God, I feel this thing in here. Grace is going to get you there. Grace is going to get you there. Grace is going to get you there. And Moses goes back up. And when he goes back up, he hews the stone. And in the morning, God meets him.
Oh, Jesus, Lord, have mercy.
Oh, can you imagine that scene? To revisit the spot where I lost my revelation. And God meets me back there and rewrites it again. Oh, God, if you ever lost something, God said, I'll do it again. Oh, God, if you ever broke something, God said, I'll fix it. Just meet me in the morning. And so God meets Moses in the morning, and then God starts talking about God. Ah! God meets him in the, remember the text? God meets him in the morning, and then God starts talking about God. Oh, my God. The Lord, the Bible says that he comes to Mount Sinai as the Lord commanded him, and he took in his hands the two tablets of stone, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Not Moses, God. And the Lord, you missed it. Oh God. And the Lord passed by. Where y'all at? 34, verse 4, verse 5. Exodus 34, verse 5. Because I want you to see it. I can't say it first. I want you to see it. Watch this. Exodus 34, 4 and 5. Here we go. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Go to the next verse. Go to the next verse. Uh-huh. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. You missed it. Oh, Jesus. And the Lord, after he proclaimed his own name, passed before him. The first time he passed him when he was hidden. But the second time, he just passed by him. Oh, you just missed it. Let me go back. The first time, you get it? The first time, God, Moses says, I want to see you. And God said, you can't see me. No, Adam can see me and live. So I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. Moses comes down. He gets the Ten Commandments. He breaks them. God says, look, meet me in the morning. Get your butt back up there. Hew out the stone. He does it. When he hews out the stone, God comes back down in a cloud, proclaims his own name, and Moses is standing next to him, and the Bible says, with no cleft, I'm going to pass right by you. Why? Because I'm holding the word. Oh, God. And I don't have to be hidden in it when I'm holding it. Slap your neighbor and say, grip the word of God. I should have charged y'all for admission tonight. Did you see it? Did you see it? The first time I had to be hidden, but the second time I'm standing right next to him. And we are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. My God, Lord have mercy. I'm about to run out of here. And the Lord passed before him. While Moses is holding the rocks. And God says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. God is telling them, grace gonna get you there, boy. God is telling them, you ain't always gonna get it right. You're gonna break some stuff, but grace gonna get you there. God is telling them, anger ain't going to get the best of you. You got some issues, and it goes down to the father's generation, but grace is going to get you there. Grace is going to get you there. And Moses, keep going. And Moses, so I explained this to you. That's what God was saying. So he's not saying that your sins pass to your sons. And that's how we translate it. What God is saying to Moses is that I am so merciful that the stuff that should have been transmitted to your children can be canceled out by the grace that I have. Oh, God, who am I talking to in this room? And not only will grace get you there, but it'll get your kids there and your kids' kids there. And the same grace that be upon you, be upon them. We look at scripture so slanted, so wrong. Oh, keep going. Verse 8. And he says, so Moses made haste. And he bowed his head toward the earth. And worshiped. So here's my suggestion. Instead of breaking what God gave you, bow with what God gave you. Don't break it, bow with it. The reason he broke it is because he thought he wrote it. He thought he had that power. But now he realizes. That's why the conversation was between God and Moses. Because what he was doing was more of a hazard than what they were doing. Because God can handle your weakness, but your wickedness he can't deal with. Being naked is weak. Being prideful is wicked. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. And we are cannibalizing people in the body of Christ because they weak. And when we do it, it makes us wicked. Because God's standard is lower than ours. If he loved us while we were still a sinner, why do you have to be perfect for me to love you? I want to leave this on a good note. I don't want to mess with you. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Verse 9 says, and then Moses said, if now, oh, glory to God, if now, after I broke it, I have found grace in your sight. Oh, Lord, let my Lord pray. Go among us. Even though we are stiff-necked people, because God already told him, I ain't going. See, we're coming on the backside of a conversation that grace is involved in. And God says, my God, this is so good. And God says, I wish this was on Netflix. I swear. I would watch this over and over again. And God said, And Moses said, now if I found grace in your sight, oh, Lord, I pray go among us, even though we're a stiff-necked people, even though we are a stiff-necked people, pardon our iniquity and take us, oh, God, as your inheritance. Now watch what happens in verse 10. Verse 10, watch this. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all your people that I will do marvels such as not been seen, been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among whom you are shall see, oh my God, shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. You just missed a good place to shout. You ought to look at somebody next to you and say, God's about to do an awesome thing with you. If you would bow with what he gave you, God says, I'll do an awesome thing with you. God told me to tell you tonight that he wants to do an awesome thing with you. But you can't lose your grip on grace. Can't lose your grip on grace. You can't lose your grip on grace. You can't lose your grip on grace. If your hands are getting tired, if your heart's getting heavy, don't break it. If you already broke it, go back to the spot. God will meet you there. Hew out that stone and let him write the word of God again. He'll stand with you and he'll strengthen you. And he'll do an amazing thing with you. The likes of which when people look at you, you'll simply say, this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. I pray this word bless you. I hope it does.